Praise the Lord. Wonderful Saviour. Going to continue what we're looking at, God willing, praise God. Looking at the deacon in particular and the servant in general. Deacon basically means servant. Praise God. I want to look at the heart of it. What God is saying, how he's encouraging with all of this, rather than what may be familiar theology over the years. We've been looking at it for many years, haven't we? The word and restoration, body ministry. So the Lord put it on my heart in a different way to normal. I think most of us are fairly familiar with all the scriptures. And you'll certainly get it in detail on the website. So I trust that how it comes out this evening will be a great encouragement and just to help us on our way. Praise God. So we're going to look at, to start with, the qualifications of deacons. And obviously from that then the rewards that they're going to get. So 1 Timothy chapter 3. Because with all of this, what I've wanted to do is not make a separation from those in office and then the rest of the body. So some of this applies, in principle at least, to all of us. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, start with verse 8. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderous, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And we saw last time, I believe, a specific example of that with Stephen and Philip. They were deacons originally. Philip went on to be the evangelist in the book of Acts, and we know what happened to Stephen, praise God. But look at what it says here. They obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. We all want to hear on that day, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord. And this is really what we're all aiming for. Mm-hmm. Now, deacons are, again, they're separated, either apostolic appointment or... And let's look at the process here. The Lord begins to just confirm it in their lives. There's certain qualifications. Reverend, that means grave, serious, not double-tongued. So it's not one story to one person and the opposite to the next, or, you know, backstabbing, one story to one person, then you talk to the other person, it's totally different. Not given to much wine, so obviously... fairly obvious, that one doesn't need a lot of explanation, nor greedy for money, so they can't be bribed. Or, you see, here's a sincerity of faithfulness, not just the bribery, but not doing it for gain, not doing it for wages. It's a labour of love. Holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. So praise God, the mystery of the faith that has been revealed. So they're walking in faithfulness to their God. They've got a life of obedience. There's no hidden sins. They are what they are. They are what they appear to be. But let these also first be tested, proved. So they're going to go through what if you're going through a particular set of trials, could be that God is preparing you for a deaconship. But when you're fulfilling that ministry, certain trials will be attached to it. It's the same with any ministry. The trials that you and I go through are directly related to the calling that is on your life. So if there's a depth of trial, if there's a particular type of trial, God is testing, he's proving. not testing in the sense of wanting to see you fail, but proving, like he did with Job, that you will pass that test, you will remain faithful. He's bringing you through the other side. And there's a double blessing at the end of it. A greater blessing, a greater revelation of God, and a double blessing at the end of it. Praise God. So we're all called to serve. And there are things, you see, that this walk, this is where we've got to get back to basics. Because this walk is everything. It costs us everything. It's so deep. And the things that will stop us from being faithful to God in serving Him, in fulfilling our calling, these areas are so deep within us. They're so deep within us that only those whose hunger for the fullness of Christ is sincere, only those will pay the price. We love praise. We love to be given a thank you and a. This is human, so no. Don't make a value judgment on what I'm saying. Just receive it as the Lord gives it. Okay, no condemnation in this. What I'm going to say now is what it is to be human. So just receive it in God's grace. We love to be thanked, to be acknowledged, to be praised, to be recognised. We thrive on it as human beings. The employee that gets praised by the employer for doing a good work, for doing a good job, will work harder for that person than if they got as hard as if they got a wage increase or a promotion. It's what it does, isn't it? The accolades, what it does to the ego, let's face it, what it does to the emotions. That's what it is to be human. We love, sadly, and God is doing, this is a deep one, love possessions, a love of possessions. It makes us feel secure. In some cases, it makes us feel important. It feeds pride. Some people know how to handle it, they're born into it. Again, I can't really generalise, can I? But, you know, I acknowledge there's always the great exception out there to what I'm saying. So, generally speaking, possessions make one feel secure, make one feel important, powerful. This is all about power. It's all about control as a human being. Top of the, you know, king of the hill, top of the pile in all of these things. So possessions, privilege, my rights, what I am entitled to. I will assert myself to attain my rights. You know, and position, what about position? Love of position. These are all areas of deep love, self-love. A position. What position do we want? Slave? We want to be the ruler, don't we? We're the ones giving the orders. These aspects of self-love is where the cross is doing its work. This is what it means to be a human. It's what it means for God to present the cross to us. This is the walk. Now, if you think about what we've just discussed, this is what's going to interfere with being a servant, with remaining faithful to the Lord, serving. Supposing nobody says thank you. Supposing you don't get a bean for it. You're not doing it for wages anyway, but you're going to do it anyway. You're going to be at the bottom of the pile. You're the one washing the foot. You're the feet washer. You're the one washing the feet. You're the one that will not get any recognition. You're doing the work, but you won't get recognised, acknowledged, praised, thanked or paid for it. Now, this is where the cross does its work. We do it unto the Lord.
Yes.
We take on His heart, who emptied Himself, didn't think being on an equality with God was a thing to be grasped, took on the form, the role, not only the form, but the role of a slave. He took on a human body and was obedient even unto the death of the cross.
Yes.
And this, dear friends, this is what takes the grace, the love, the grace, the mercy of God. It's as humble acknowledgement that we cannot do this in our own strength. And more than serving one another in terms of works, this is how we know that God's love is working in our life. It's not about how much work we're doing, but it's the heart of the matter. It's not doing things for God, doing things for one another to try and prove anything. It's simply a work of grace. Remember the message of the apostles? It's worth turning there in Acts 15, because this was right in the middle of a discussion there of legalism. This first Jerusalem council is what prevented the church from becoming just another Jewish sect. This is what rescued the early church. And that's not an exaggeration to state this. The whole question before them was circumcision, so it's works. But it applies to what we've just been looking at. We'll start chapter 15 of the book of Acts. We'll start with verse 6. The apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. When there had been much dispute, Peter rose up, said to them, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart..." Look at the central importance of this. God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith, not by works, not by a system of works, a priesthood, all those washings he's talking about, all those animals being slaughtered, which was, do you know what I mean? So it's a system of works and purifyings and washings. Purifying our hearts by faith, by believing the gospel, by believing him. "Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples," speaking of the Gentiles, "which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" Praise God, here we are. This apostle, this Jewish believer, who was still having to be taught about the salvation of the Gentiles, has acknowledged that him or his ancestors could not bear that yoke, that legalism. God wasn't legalistic to start with, but Judaism became legalistic. And they were not able to bear even the law that wasn't, as it were, legalistic. They couldn't bear it. They realised all the law could do was condemn them for their sin. The law makes no account of human frailty, of weakness, of background. You know, the family thing, the stuff that we've got to deal with. The law doesn't care about that. It says, do this or you're guilty. That's all it knows. And no one was able to bear it. And here we have it. "But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they." Friends, some of the trials that we go through, especially related to our serving our brother and sister, serving the body of Christ, all those areas of self that we looked at that come up, that want feeding, rather than ministering, that's what we want fed. So this is the choice we have. Are we serving or are we being served? And all those things that come up, it's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ whereby we are saved. And the trials related to that serving, we've got to ask, we go back to basics. We've got to go back, we've got to start perfecting the basics. Who am I doing this unto? Am I believing? Am I trusting? Am I trying to do this in my own strength? Because, you know, at the end of the day, even with this, we can do it with the wrong motives. We can do it for reward. We can say it's not just the outward act. It's not just the thing off serving, but yielding one's life over, trusting, and serving in grace. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to save us. Now, there is a danger. There's a thing called hyper-grace, where it's all grace and only grace, and we have nothing to do but sit and wait for the grace. That is not scripture. That's an unscriptural balance. Part of grace, let's look at a couple of familiar scriptures with this. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works. Not of works, dear brothers and sisters, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has a plan for each one of us. God has ordained beforehand all our works. All the works that we're to do, God has ordained. Now, by striving, are you going to find out what those works are? How do we find out what those works are? Thinking it? Is there an encyclopedia that if you read it, you can find the answer? How do we know what God's planned schedule for us? Prayer? Yeah, faith? The Holy Spirit. God has given us the Holy Spirit. He will lead us into the works. We are his workmanship. He's the one working in and then through us.
Yes.
He's the one doing the works.
Yes.
Praise God if we could hold on to this. When we go through our trials, we occasionally find, and let's be honest, faith message people, let's be honest, faith isn't there. There's an unwillingness, there's a reluctance. Somehow, I'm not believing. I'm afraid. Or I'm unbelieving, I'm refusing to believe, that I will, because I don't want to give it up. I'm not believing, I'm not trusting, I'm not obeying. So what do we do then? If we know God's will in the matter, or think we do, but there isn't the faith to endure the trial. This is where we have to acknowledge that there's still that area in our life, God is still at work, and there's no point trying to believe and to overcome. Because why? Because the overcomer hasn't overcome you yet. And that's when we get into faith. Like old Joshua, before he conquered that Jericho, the pre-incarnate Christ, he fell flat on his face at Jesus' feet. And he is the one that's going to provide the faith. This is why, on a bended knee, Father, I failed this. I won't keep failing, because I am your workmanship. You have created me in Christ Jesus unto good works. You have foreordained them. You've prepared me for them. You've prepared them for me. Forgive me, but I'm looking to you now for a supply of faith and grace that will see me through this. I don't know how. You haven't called me to. But here it is. I present it to you. I'm trusting you to finish your work in me. And we continue. To serve one another, to serve the body of Christ, is not an easy thing. It's commitment. We don't fully know the cost each day until God reveals it. And we step out in faith according to what God has given us. That prayer life, it is true, we need that prayer. But that's a result of our consecration. We're available, and God will show us each day what he wants of us. But first must come that surrender, that giving it over to him, fully yielding over to him. Now, we heard in prophecy this evening that the way to overcome was simply lifting up those hands and praising him. Praise him through it. Because why? That's the best way of forgetting about ourselves and what we're going through and looking to him. It's Jesus' name on our lips in praise rather than having to rebuke the enemy all the time. Just stand up there praising God. If your hands are up there praising the Lord, you've had to let go of whatever's down there. Praise the Lord. That's why he's ordained it that way. And if you're looking up there praising the living God, praising him, you're not looking down at the circumstances. This is why God has ordained that praise and that worship. Praise God. Romans chapter 4. Again, these are all familiar scriptures and principles that some of us need to sort of, after all these years, why am I not better off than this? Why am I still missing it in these basic areas? Chapter 4 and verse 16. You see, we're looking at the fact that you can't just say it's all grace and grace and grace and God requires nothing of us. Even the faith that he requires of us is a gift of his grace. So talk about grace, but as long as we say it includes the faith that he's given us. Chapter 4 and verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Why has God ordained faith? The only way faith can work is by grace. When you see faith working, that's God at work. Because God is faithful. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. We looked at that earlier, Acts 15, not just to those who have been redeemed from the law, but to the Gentiles who have faith. Those that we looked at in where we discussed in Acts 15, by their faith, they're as Jewish as the Jewish people. They're sons of Abraham, by faith. Okay, we don't have the depth of and tradition and family background of Jewish culture and all of that. Granted. And I tell you, we can sigh a sigh of relief over that. Praise the Lord. Without belittling, I mean, it's bad what some of them are required to do. You may have heard of red and white kitchens. I don't know if you're aware of that. Cannot mix meat and milk. So you've got the red, all the teaspoons are in the red drawers. They've been used to stir the beef things, and you have a set with a white that is only for milk, and you cannot use one for the other. You can't set out on a journey on the Sabbath day that's going to take you longer than the Sabbath to get there and back. There's only certain routes you can walk to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. You know, no matter where it is, there's a predefined route to get there. You can't just walk and cross the road where you like. Friends, we believe that it is by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved. And that grace is put within us, that faith to believe, to trust. We can't possibly work out in our minds all the ethics, the morals, and all that God requires of us. We trust him to lead. As long as we've given it over to him, he will show us each day how to bear fruit. Praise God. And we're here to serve. That feet washing, that servant-like attitude, which requires that consecration. Now, as I said, we all want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. 1 Corinthians 15. Speaking of, praise God, resurrection and what happens in eternity. Verse 57, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Great rewards, being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. See, our labour is not in vain, but do we believe that? Do we lose sight of the fact that it's the Lord who is our master? And the rewards will come at the right time and in the right way. He won't forget. Man, you may spend the rest of your life on this earth, and man will not see, will not appreciate, will not say thank you, will not even know you're doing it. But there's one who will always see, there's one who will never forget. You're doing it unto him, you're doing it in his name, and he's the one giving you the strength to do it. Surely that's the only thing that matters. Easier said than done. We all agree with that, but then when we go through the trials connected with it, that thing that we looked at before, those things that we mentioned before of self, will rise up. And we have to, with the best will in the world, friends, we have to acknowledge it will rise up. And it's what we do at that point. And this is where God's love comes in. Because it's going to be very easy to judge. Very easy to judge. Why didn't he or she do this or that? And yet we're not so quick to condemn ourselves, are we? When we fail, we want all kinds of pity and grace and consideration and mercy, don't we? Let's cut one another some slack. Cut ourselves some slack. God is doing a deep work, and he's requiring us to forget all about that and labour faithfully in his vineyard. And some of us are, I don't know what the word is, but we're looking in a judgmental way, a critical way. Things aren't what we think they should be. And so we think God has called us to go discern for one another what is happening and who's doing what and why. Getting involved in church politics. God hasn't called us to that. God has called us to be part of the solution, part of the unity of the body of Christ. Believing, praying, trusting God. Do we see a fault? Do we see a problem? It's prayer, friends. This is the body of Christ. It's not a social club. It's not a political institution. Can God not deal with the thing that you get so offended by, the thing that I get offended or upset by? Can the Lord not deal with it?
Yeah.
Is he not the Lord of that person's conscience? Is he not bigger than their trial, their problem? Of course he is, you know the answer. Praise God. There's something within us that reacts to what is said or what is being done. And that's the thing that God is dealing with.
Yes.
That area so deep within us. What it is to be human. And this is why we've been given the message of faith and the deeper life. To turn to God, to allow him to do that, while we get on serving the Lord faithfully in his vineyard.
Yes.
Now, we mentioned some specific things last time about the sort of thing a deacon would do, the practical provision, the administrative things. But we can all serve. I've said it before, as well as his prayer life, Smith Wigglesworth, just anything that needed to be done, even if it meant putting the chairs away after the meeting. Anything, you know, something needs doing, it's not being done, well, there you are. There's an opportunity. And you don't sort of think of yourself, oh look, I've served, praise God, we'll just do it. Just get on, do what needs to be done. Now, while God is working in and through us, and we're doing the things that, praise God, need to be done, let's look at James 5, because who really is waiting? Who's the one that is actually truly waiting? James chapter 5 and verse 7. We're going to go through our things, our trials, our testings, our persecution. We're going to experience our problems. But James chapter 5, beginning with verse 7, says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your heart, hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand, or draws near. Do not grumble, do not murmur, complain, that means, you know what grumbling means, against one another, brethren, lest you be judged or condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience, well, really endurance. Indeed, we count them blessed to endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And he goes in verse 12 to swearing, but that's you know, the oath, taking the oath, swearing the oath, something different. For our purposes tonight, if we look at verses 7 to 11, friends, we've got to be patient in what we're doing, because we're going to be doing it until the coming of the Lord. Until the Lord comes for his bride, says, come up hither, that's when we're going to be doing it. Disciples, ministry, deacons, do not retire. It's until death or rapture us do part. That's what it is. So it's until the coming of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is a rest, it is a privilege, it's a blessing, but there are often great trials involved with that. And so we need to take the long-term view. Yes, a day at a time, a second, every moment, every minute, every day, one day at a time, but take the long-term view. Instead of trying, trying to fix everything and what do? Try and accomplish as much as they can in that day. Allow the Lord, you know, accept it for what it is and let the Lord work through that situation. Until how long? Until the coming of the Lord. We saw that a moment ago in 1 Corinthians 15, you know. Be abounding, ever abounding, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because our work, our labour is not in vain in the Lord. And then he uses the analogy. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. So he's ploughed, he's sown, and now he has to wait. So ploughing is what it is. That's an activity he can do. He gets that old plough, ploughs the earth. Sowing, he gets a handful of seed, he sows. He's done that. That's like not the easy bit, but that's fairly simple. This now is the hard bit. It's the waiting. Waiting for that fruit to develop. And fruit can only grow and mature in its proper season. Now, who's doing the waiting here? The farmer is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it till it receives the early and latter rain. Do you think that's us waiting? It's the Lord. God is waiting for the full fruit in our lives. It's taken two Advents. The early, that was the book of Acts, and the latter, it's going to be the... I know people stumble over the word revival and I don't want to talk about revival, but this is the latter rain we're believing for, the greater works, that anointing. We can't go beyond the present level of our anointing. Our faith can be stretched, we can aim towards it, but we can't move in that, we can't move beyond it. We are waiting for the latter rain. We are waiting to be endured from power from on high in order to do the things that God wants us to do. We know very well what Jesus said, those that believe, they will do not only my works, but greater works. Now, the early church were doing the works of Christ under that early rain. We now have been prepared, waiting for the latter rain to do those greater works. And he's the one going to be doing them in us and through us. But, praise God, or rather through us at that point, because he'll have done that work within us. We are waiting for that anointing. And often that is a problem with what we're doing. We're not really seeking or understanding fully yet, or acknowledging somehow, not receiving or experiencing for whatever reason, the leading, direction, empowering, anointing of the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 1. You see, while we do have an awesome responsibility in faith, God does not require us, even though he's causing us to stand on our own 2 feet of faith, he's making sons out of us. We're not looking to a man, we're not relying on a man, we're not giving our conscience over to the will of another person. It's our walk is strictly between, you know, us and the Lord, me and the Lord, you and the Lord. We are totally dependent on him. That faith requires a supply of the Holy Spirit, because that faith is a fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being not just doing good works, but being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, with all patience, long-suffering, with joy, don't forget the joy in your long-suffering, giving thanks to the Father, who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. It's all there, isn't it, that one? Filled with the knowledge of his will, not in a legalistic head knowledge way, but in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The wisdom of it and the spiritual understanding, the ability to apply, the ability to choose the best means to accomplish that desired purpose. That's what wisdom is, spiritual understanding. To walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. He's our master, he's the one. We're accountable to him, we're answerable to him, not man. You may serve in the way that the Lord has given you to serve, and it'll be rejected by men. Jesus wants to wash Peter's feet, and Peter said, no, not my feet, but my head only. They won't understand. So, you're not answerable to them. Answerable only to the Lord. Being fruitful in every good work. A machine works, but it is not alive. The only one that can bear fruit is the one that's living. Only the Holy Spirit can cause a person or an assembly to be fruitful. Machines and, you know, systems, the systems of men and people striving in their own strength, they can do the work. They will work. It does a work. But to be fruitful in that work, for it to be acknowledged by Almighty God, must be led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is where the cross comes in, not in doing, but in dying. We bear fruit. And this is where God's love comes in, isn't it? We're doing what we're doing because of our love for one another, our love for the assembly. You know, it's very practical, but it must be led by the Spirit for it to be fruitful. Increasing in the knowledge of God, that personal, as we do these things, as we are about our Father's business, by the Spirit we increase in the personal knowledge and experience of Almighty God. Not just studying, as important as doctrine is, we're talking here about that experiential life knowledge of the living God. Strengthened with all might, praise God. Isn't this what we need? To be strengthened according to his glorious power. So we can't use the fact that I'm tired as an excuse. I'm tired, I've had an awful day, I've had a rotten week. Well, how does that compare with being strengthened with all might? According to his glorious power. Where am I missing it? Where am I going wrong? because I'm not praising, perhaps. I've got a wrong attitude, wrong motive. You see, the reason we get like this is because we are wasting all our energy resisting the Holy Spirit. That's why. We're fighting Him. We're fighting God. Or we're trying to fight the devil in our own strength. This is why we're running out of steam. But as we yield, well, you know. You know what's going to happen when you yield. When I yield. His strength, His grace, His love and light and power and presence will come flooding through us. And we'll overcome. We'll be fruitful in that. We'll walk through it. We'll overcome. Because it's Him doing that work. Unto all, for all, patience or endurance. You know, patience and long-suffering, so that's the same word, isn't it? So it must be endurance, long-suffering. With joy. There's that praise. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So again, He does talk about endurance and long-suffering. Why? Because it's very rare that any particular work of the Lord is over in 10 minutes. This is a long term, it's never a one off, is it? It's got to keep doing the same thing over and over, right? Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Praise God. Giving thanks to the Father. Thank you, Lord, who has qualified, and here's the point, all that we're going through is a sign that He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Praise God. So, back to James. We're waiting for that latter rain. We're being prepared for it. That anointing. And by being faithful in the things that God... So what we're looking at there, what am I to do? What are the works? Remember, God has foreordained. He alone can show you what it is He wants for you that day. And in doing that, we're being prepared for the latter rain. And I'm not afraid to call it a revival. Unprecedented power and revival outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Not the revivals we've seen in the past, but God getting hold of His empty vessels. And an outpouring of the Spirit such as never been seen heretofore in human history that will bring about the conclusion of human history. The pulling down of satanic strongholds and the ushering in of God's kingdom. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. This mountain, this humanism, this Antichrist system will be removed. It's not, as some would have it, it's purely our faith that's doing it. It is our faith, praise God, but who gave us that faith? And it's Jesus Himself. He said, if you ask the Father anything in my name, I will do it. So it's Him doing it. That's why we're not afraid to talk like this. Because we're not pretending we're the ones doing it. We're simply saying it's the Lord doing that as we believe Him. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, isn't that wonderful? We started out by saying, be patient till the coming of the Lord, and we all went, oh, here we go. No, we didn't, did we? But the flesh was tempted. But here we're told, the Lord's at hand. His coming isn't that far away, friends. Praise the Lord. His return isn't that far away. I read an interesting prophecy, some elderly rabbi. And again, keep it for what it is, please. Scripture. Don't start going, oh, this is it. Oh, Brother Bob says the Lord's returning. No, hang on. I'm just going to trust you with this, please. Keep it in its context. Please, an elderly rabbi, Jesus appeared to him, so the account goes, I wasn't there, I don't know, the account goes that the Lord appeared to him and revealed to him the name of the Messiah, which we already know, but you've got to remember this is a rabbi, okay? And it was in a, and he wrote the name that was revealed to him in a coded message, right? So straight away alarm bells are ringing, aren't they? But we know the name, so no big surprise when the name was revealed as Yeshua. Okay, so, but the point is, that was communicated to the rabbinical community. And it, apparently, the revelation is, that sometime after Ariel Sharon dies, which happened yesterday, the Lord will return. Leave that with you. But didn't we know that anyway? Sometime after. You know. So it's one. So my initial thoughts on this is like, well, here we go again. You know, sensationalism and. But let's just think it through a minute. Every time these things come up, every time certain things happen in the news, and we're all tempted to get excited and it's simply, I believe, just the Lord getting our focus back on the heavenly realities that sometime soon the Lord is coming back for the church that is getting it right. He's coming back and he will commend the servants that are watching. You'll know of the parables in Luke and Matthew about how the blessed is that servant who is about his service, watching, waiting for his master's return. And all that does to me is just, as if I needed it, a reminder the Lord is returning soon. You'd best be watching and waiting. Forget about the stuff that you've got to do each day to work and to put a meal on the table. Look to the fact that sometime soon the Lord is coming for those who are preparing themselves. That's the message. Now, we don't need these sensationalist things, do we? But I just felt that was interesting. A week after I heard that, Ariel Sharon.
Yes, interesting.
So, do you know what I mean? Praise the Lord, though. Now, here we go. It's inevitable, isn't it? Verse 9. Praise God. We're in that ark. We're building an ark. And it's not exactly the largest cruise ship ever built. Comfort, all the modern comforts. Do not grumble, praise God, murmur against one another. They didn't have all kinds of room. You know, I've had enough of this. You stay at that end, I'll go to that end, and hopefully we don't have to clash for the next 150 days. We can just... Praise the Lord. This is where God's love comes in, isn't it? Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be judged or condemned. You see, why are we grumbling? Why are we murmuring? Because we're not happy. Why aren't we happy? Because my brother or sister, who should have known better, has fallen short of a standard. But who set that standard? The Lord didn't. The standard is the fullness of Christ. The standard is absolute perfection. Be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. Well, who's going to reach that? Who's going to meet that standard? But the context of that is unconditional love. So, do you get the contradiction? That if somebody does fall short of it, if you're meeting that standard, your unconditional love will cover that sin. So grumbling cannot be justified for any reason. Either way, do you see how the Lord has set it up? Father, forgive me. Father, forgive us. Forgive me. I am totally dependent, totally on the Lord, of course, but on you as well. If you don't manifest God's love in the face of my sin, I've had it. What can I do? Because I'm going to fail, and, well, you know my history. And it's your love that has covered, it's God's love through you that has covered that. Praise God. And so I owe a huge debt of love. I owe no man anything except to love one another. So a huge debt of gratitude, a huge debt of love that God in time will work through, won't he? And here's the warning, though. To murmur, to grumble, to complain against one another will open the door to condemnation, because the judge is standing at the door. He's hearing that conversation. He's there. Believe me, friends, the Lord hears it. Take the prophets, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and endurance by their own people. They were put to death by the people to whom God sent them in his mercy. God in his mercy raised up men to bring them back to him, and they were persecuted, they were put to death by the very people to whom they were ministering. Indeed, we count them blessed to endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job. Job, he's not patient, is he, poor old Job? But he persevered. Praise God. He had some things to learn. Some things God was dealing with him. And here's the wonderful thing. You've seen the end intended by the Lord. You've seen the end. That word end, not just conclusion, it means purpose. The purpose for which God allowed him to go through that. A double blessing at the end of it. A deeper revelation, a double blessing. The Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Praise God. This is the God we serve. This is the Lord that we serve. And by serving one another, we serve him. And we'll get that eternal reward. That eternal accolade. If no man ever says thank you, what will that compare when throughout all eternity we have ringing in our ears, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then we'll cast our crowns at his feet, because we're unworthy, it was him doing it anyway, and then spend eternity in glory in his presence, with one another, free fellowship, free and a true and a pure fellowship, a worship, ruling and reigning in the millennium. For being faithful for what? A lot? No, it's not what Jesus said. If you're faithful with a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. Praise God. So I trust that touched the heart of what it is to serve, rather than specific things that we need to be doing. It's the heart, the motive, the attitude, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in serving one another. Specifics, if you want some specifics, start with prayer. Prayer. Praise God. Loving one another. To actually love one another is a ministry, did you know that? Giving and mercy. They're gifts, they're ministries. Hospitality. Very practical. Yes, there's fasting, there's no getting away from it. Witnessing, serving, ministering to the sick. We have an anointing that will raise the sick. Serving, ministering to the lost. Witnessing, interceding. Finding your place and calling in the body of Christ. Who actually knows what their gifts are, what their calling is? Begin by faith to move out in what God has called. Get together with a brother or sister. Let's pray the Lord would open a door. Let's seek the Lord because there are sick. There are lost. I haven't made any effort to contact them. There are people dying all around me and I've not prayed for them. Unsaved are dying all around me. Where are they going to, well, we know where they're going to end up, but now, the Lord knows, because that was happening in his day, but this is, you know what I mean, in his earthly ministry. But he only did whatever the Father showed him, and that's the point. are we doing that which the Father shows us? We're not responsible for every soul that... Do you know what I mean? But we have a responsibility that today I'm putting others first, I'm seeking the kingdom. And so it's the harvest, the vineyard, whatever you even want to call it, is on our back doorstep. You don't have to feed all the poor. We're not responsible for everyone that's poor. But the poor person you meet today, the one poor person you meet today, is a different story, isn't it? And this is the few things that God is requiring us to be faithful in. He will make us ruler over the great things. And it's all His grace. Look at that person that you're ministering to and see Jesus. Look at that person you're about to complain because they've fallen short. And remember the judge is standing at the door. Look, see Jesus in them instead. Yes, I know, me too. We'll do that, won't we, from now on? Please, by God's grace. Because it's hurtful otherwise. This message hurts. Truth without love kills.
That's right.
Yes, you heard me. Truth, to know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Because he was talking about himself at that point. But truth without love kills.
Yeah.
And this walk is hard enough, the trials we're going through, our own failures, our own shortcomings. The last thing we need is a set of Job's comforters pointing out the obvious, where we've gone wrong. Adding insult to injury,
yeah,
and just piling on the condemnation and the burden. We've already missed it in the trial. Yeah, we know we've failed. Friends, it's God's love's going to see us through in this. And when we have attained that, we have attained perfection. To be as perfect, as Jesus said, as our Heavenly Father, the context was that he gives rain to the just and the unjust, to the thankful and the unthankful. And that's what he's requiring of us. That is our servanthood.
Yes.
None of me, all of Christ. You are much more important. Truly, you are more important than me. I'm called to serve you, I'm called to wash your feet. I'm the slave here, I'm the servant. I'm to Christ. But it's when we take the lowest place, is when we get the blessing. A hireling will do it for finances, for whatever reason, for praise, for position, to try and gain something. But the true shepherd, the true servant, will do it for his love for Jesus. So that, in closing, that's why Jesus said to Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me? Yes, yes. And eventually, the third time, something in him broke. Yes, Lord, you know. Feed my sheep.
Yes.
That's how we love the Lord. By feeding one another, nurturing one another.
Mm.
Not criticizing one another. But loving one another.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Almighty God.
Thank you, brethren. I appreciate your time and your attention, your fellowship. Again, it is difficult. How do we do this if we're on our own and not in an assembly? Well, again, the Lord knows. He will shepherd his flock wherever you are. He'll provide an opportunity. The person you serve, of serving the Lord Jesus. God bless you, brethren. God keep you, preserve you, and show his love in a great way this week. I trust healing, blessing, deliverance, revelation, just the knowledge of his presence and his abiding care. God bless you, brethren.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise his